in the air. Let me see your hands in the air.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Very excited that you're with us here tonight. As always, it is Tuesday, May 15th, 2007, about 12:01 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. Welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org. And our website, franklyspeakingradio.com, and our phone number, 800-313-9443. Now, at this time of the night, at this time of the week, we always have our good friend Grant Hall joining us. We'll bring him up here in just a second. But first thing, I wanted to read this quick story to you about a situation that you could obviously be in yourself if you were living perhaps like this gal is. And a way to avoid this, of course, would be to read and implement the techniques, I guess would be the best way to put it, that are identified quite plainly and easily in the book Privacy Crisis by our guest, Grant Hall. Here's what it says. A bounce check is rarely just a single problem. Often a cascade of events follows. One bounce check leads to another and another, and then a series of non-sufficient fund fees, along with late fees from creditors. Clawing out is often a one-step-forward, two-steps-back battle. The bank sucks money out through fees, even as the consumer tries to put money in to cover the losses. But what if the bank isn't the only one sucking out money? What if, as a consumer dumps in money to raise the balance above zero, both the bank and an identity thief are taking money out? The 21st century nightmare hit 27-year-old Rachel Poor in March when she discovered that an identity thief had drained her checking account and even overdrawn it by several hundred dollars. Now, of course, the ultimate irony here is the gal's last name is Poor. But regardless, we go on. It says that was just the beginning of her ordeal. For 2 full weeks after Poor reported the crime to her bank, her imposter continued to withdraw money from her account as fast as she added it. As a result, she was hit with 20 overdraft fees totaling $670, and nearly 6 weeks after the fact, she was still fighting to get her money back. She says, quote, basically, I feel like I'm a victim of fraud twice, once by the person who was using my account and again by Bank of America. Every time my balance went positive for even a moment, another fraudulent charge would pass through, so you can imagine my frustration. Bank of America spokeswoman Betty Rice said the bank could not comment on an individual consumer's account, but didn't dispute any of the details that Poor provided. And she, of course, gave quite a bit of detail. But basically, it just went on and on. She contacted her bank and said, hey, look, here's the deal. You know, I have this situation where someone is fraudulently pretending to be me. And, you know, they keep charging all this money to my account. And she asked them to close the account. They said, we can't close the account until it's at zero balance. Every time she got it to zero, one of these fraudulent charges waiting to go through would go through. Anyway, she ended up being in the hole about $2,000. And she did get all of her money back as far as the overdraft and overcharges. However, the bank told her things like, quote, how do I know you're not making this up? Strangely enough, she has been a Bank of America customer since the age of 17 and knows how banks work because she used to work as a bank teller for Bank of America. It's vital that we understand the banking process and how you can work it to your advantage, folks. Stay with us back in three with our special guest, Grant Hall.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
PersonAlarms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Welcome back. Our phone number, 800-313-9443. Toll-free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. You may have questions for our guest tonight, and if you do, then you're a smart person, because this is not the kind of subject matter that everybody knows everything about. However, when you know enough to write, I would say, I don't know, a 400-page book on the subject, you're pretty darn good. And our guest is phenomenal at this subject matter. Please welcome the author of the book, Privacy Crisis, Identity Theft Prevention Plan, and Guide to Anonymous Living, Grant Hall. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you very much, Frank.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to have you here, as it is always, on Mondays.
Right. It's my favorite time of the week, as you know.
Yeah, mine too.
And I'm honored and grateful to be here again. The lady, Ms. Poor, had quite an experience.
Yeah.
I can assure you that she expended a tremendous amount of time and effort, as well as the money, which she eventually got back, I understand.
Mm.
But that is that's a real ongoing problem with many people. And, of course, if she had the right background in terms of information, she wouldn't have her account be vulnerable in the first place. That takes a little doing, and it takes a little understanding of how the process works, but it's certainly doable, and without a whole lot of effort, she could have prevented the whole ordeal.
Yeah, and you know, you hate to hear stuff like that, but it's just, it makes you wonder, because here's this gal in a situation where all the money she owns is in a bank. And everything that she owns basically has been wiped out. She has direct deposit, which means her check goes directly into her account. So as soon as it moves in, obviously the account balance goes up into the positive, then subsequently yanked down to the negative because all of the applied charges and fraudulent charges, of course, and then bank charges all waiting in the wings, waiting to go through as soon as that money's back in the account. So it's just a really awful situation. It actually goes on to say that she had to ask for a loan from her employer so she could pay her rent. while she waited for all the stuff to go through. She had no money. The bank wouldn't give her anything, and there's no way that they would allow her to sort of regain her control of her account unless she filled out substantial amounts of paperwork, which I imagine is the case with most identity theft victims.
Right. There would be a tremendous amount of that to do, which is even further invasion of your privacy and your personal life. But, putting everything on automatic pilot where you don't have to do any work and you've got automatic deposits and automatic withdrawals, ACH transfers and this and that to various people and bill payments. It sounds like it's a tremendous time saver, but it only takes a situation like this to nullify all the perceived convenience of that. It's very easy to break the paper trail between yourself and your funds, your source of funds, and or you can also use a front entity, namely a trust for personal funds, without your Social Security number on it, if you know how to do that. Mm-hmm. And essentially, you will bypass any chance, well, just about any chance. I shouldn't say it's not possible, but really it's very difficult to track somebody when there is only a trust name on a standard checking account, like was this case, as I understand it, mm-hmm. and then an employer identification number, which is essentially a taxpayer identification number that is given to the trust, and then the actual signer, in this case Ms. Poore, could have been hidden below all of that, just named a signer and probably wouldn't even come up in the databases being on the account. So nobody would have known she was the signer or owned or controlled the account if, for instance, they had intercepted her mail or even had access to the banking records.
Yeah, it seems like, and the story actually goes on to say that she had checks that were forged, and something about checks can be printed up with somebody's routing number or something, and apparently it's, as the story says, it's very lengthy. It's about 4 pages, but it goes on to say that most institutions that accept checks, they do not actually compare the numbers, which is another reason why, of course, you should be very, very careful about what kind of information people have access to about your personal checking accounts and things like that.
The routing number is no secret, and anybody can obtain that for the bank, and the account number should be a secret. If those two are put on a check, essentially somebody can forge it. If they know who to forge it and know who to tie it to, and they know what the signature, but like you said, perhaps the signature wouldn't even be compared. Many times I've known of cases where they didn't compare the signature. In fact, by mistake a time or two, I only use checks on rare occasions, but I've sent a couple through without any signature at all, and they went ahead and cleared. So it's a real difficult process to overcome. However, if you don't have anybody knowing your account number or even the name of the account, what damage are they going to do? And as far as I'm concerned, you shouldn't have any name of any kind on any check that you mm-hmm. use. And if there's just a blank account number on there, no address, no name, and, of course, the bank routing number, and then you stamp it a certain way on the back that doesn't give away any crucial information, you're really home free, and it's essentially an unidentifiable check. Mm-hmm. And it is not a real difficult thing to learn, and it just clears just fine.
You know, I've had bank accounts almost my whole life, but I had such a miserable experience with a bank recently that I stopped using them altogether. And it's something I recommend most people do to a certain extent, but I do understand the need to have a checking account or some way to process paychecks and things like that. One of the things I ran into, Grant, and I'm sure you've heard about it too, is a particular check cashing system. And it's very, very interesting and somewhat diabolical in its scope, because almost every place has it. And, of course, you have to register with this check cashing service before a store will allow a check to clear. And it's called different things, I think, in certain places, but I'm sure you're familiar with it. And basically what I tried to use a check one time, and they told me, well, you can't do that because you haven't registered yet with this check cashing service. And I said, well, why do I have to? You know, you should be able to do this just fine. And they said, no, no, we exclusively use this service. So I asked them, I said, okay, what do I have to do? And they said, call them and give them your name and your address and your social security number and your employer and your address of your employer and your phone number of your employer and your annual income and all sorts of really intrusive information. And I basically, at that point, I got rid of my account, and I just started going with cash for the most part.
Right. In different parts of the country, there's different trends in terms of what is available. In western part of the United States, and as well as the Southwest in particular, there are many check cashing stores, and they're spread throughout the country, I know, because I travel as well. But for the most part, if you learn certain techniques or certain ways of getting around so much privacy invasive information, you can learn to control what you provide to the check cashing store. And I'm talking about they're just a standalone store that doing many services besides just clear checks. But they give loans and they sell debit cards and they charge astronomical amounts of interest on loans, mm-hmm. for example. But these are primarily a good resource for keeping your money confidential, because if you know how to do it, and if you know what they really do require, which is really not very much information, to go ahead and run your check through the system and be assured that they're going to meet all of their particular regulatory requirements, then you're going to be able to be just fine. For example, I used one on occasion, and the checks are never payable to me. They're payable to certain businesses or trusts that I use to receive funds, and they don't have any copy of my identification. They do not have, they have my name, and they have some passport information that they copied down from the passport, but they did not make a photocopy of it, and nor do they have the intricacies of the paperwork associated with the business entities which do receive funds. I was very careful about this. And so my point in doing that, in explaining this, is that you can help them meet their requirements by just knowing what they really have to require, which is they need to identify you, and they do not have to have your Social Security number. They do not have to have the taxpayer ID of the entity if you happen to receive checks from another business or entity either. They don't have to have those things. They just need to know that you are the person that is authorized to either cash a check payable to you or cash a check that's payable to the business or trust that you are receiving funds on behalf of.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times the tellers or the equivalents or the line workers at these check cashing stores are unfamiliar with this. And so what people need to do is they need to learn to deal with management. A lot of times, you know, this is explained fully in my writings. You need to learn how to work with the people that can make the decisions and not the clerks of the world, because they will try to steal your information. Pure and simple, they will try to take your freedom and privacy away from you. And you need to learn how to deal with the corporate people and the management that have the power to override and give you what you need.
I think that's vital information, my friend, and certainly something that we've talked about before and something we should maybe talk about again, about trusts and trustees and how all that works, because this is a very, very viable option for anybody out there. It's just a matter of course, getting the how-to, and of course, folks, this is all contained in our guest's book. This is a must-have, a must-read. It's called Privacy Crisis, Identity Theft Prevention Plan, A Guide to Anonymous Living. Our guest, it's author Grant Hall, back with us in 3 minutes, folks, for more Frankly Speaking Radio. Please stick around.
Hey.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleilWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Talk of flag. I talk of revolution. You'd much rather brag.
Welcome back, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whale, and very excited to have you with us here tonight. Be aware of our phone number in case you have some questions about your own personal privacy situation. Our special guest is an expert on the subject, author of the book Privacy Crisis. Please welcome back to the show, Grant Hall. Grant, thank you again for your time, sir.
Surely. The trust is a paper document, and essentially it has such value for the privacy seeker because it does not have to be registered, as do other entities, business entities like limited liability companies, corporations, and limited partnerships. Typically, the trust would be considered revocable or irrevocable, just meaning that one can be changed and one is not supposed to be changed once formed. The three primary necessary parts or ingredients of a trust would be a beneficiary who receives the benefit of it, the grantor who places property into it, and the trustee who essentially is the manager or makes the decisions for the on behalf of the trust, because the trust is incapable of that because it's just a paper document with lots of legal mumbo jumbo and lots of legalese inside of it to sure. make it all nice and neat and capable of doing what it needs to do.
Wow.
But essentially what you can do with a trust is a whole lot of things. You can hold your car in a trust. Mm-hmm. You could hold a checking account in the name of a trust, which would be owned by the trust, but you would control that as a trustee and have a whole lot of privacy as a result of doing it that way. And then you could also use a trust for the named manager of your business, thereby concealing yourself on state records and just operate as the trustee of the trust and essentially control it all without anybody having a clue that you were behind the business.
Wow. That's fantastic. Now, does a lawyer set that up?
Yes. I have always had mine set up by lawyers. I don't claim to be an expert on these. But there are other places that you can buy those. There are some some that are kits, for example, as I understand it, and you just fill in the blanks. And I don't know anything about those except they're sold at certain document stores. I've come in and I've seen a few advertisements on the Internet and so forth. Mm. And I guess people have to use their own judgment about how and where they want to buy their trusts. I think it's pretty a good idea to get a consultation from an attorney, at least initially, to decide what you require and then decide how you're going to get your trust.
I think that's a great idea. Now, do you have to have a business already, or can a trust just sort of invent a business, if you will?
Well, the trust is essentially a trust. is a standalone document. Now, from that point, you make a decision on what property you want to be held by that trust. Generally speaking, businesses are not held by trust because, as it has been explained to me, they don't relieve one of liability. And that's the same case with a checking account as well. Just because you were a car, if you're the driver of a car or if you're the holder or if you're the signer and trustee on a checking account, that doesn't relieve you of any liability because the trust is not going to protect you from your liability or your personal debt. Other entities can. So in answer to your question, they can hold property. They could hold a business. I've been told it's not a good idea to hold a business. I've been told it is a good idea to hold things like cars, checking accounts, and also to be the managing or the manager of a business on paper, that is.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, actually. And that's kind of shocking to me, Grant. I guess I've been reading your book enough to understand a lot of that stuff. But, you know, when it comes to money and whatnot, and just numbers in general, I've always been such an idiot. So to me, this is really exciting to have you dumb it down for me, certainly. Do you want to take some calls?
Oh, sure, we can do that.
Let's fit in some calls here, folks. 800-313-9443. Let's go to Dan in Texas. Dan, welcome to the show.
Yeah, great show, of course.
Thanks.
So yeah, I used to work in getting people credit at a company, and I found out that some people deposit. That happened to me myself, my wife and I. Our paycheck would be deposited, and I can name the bank, but they won't let me. And they would get the statement saying it was deposited too late to credit our accounts. We had a hot check, and they get the monthly statement, and clearly, even by their own so-called statements, it was arrived there in time. They didn't post it in time, and obviously intentionally, so they could cheat us by saying we had a hot check because it wasn't posted in time, even though they got it in plenty of time. And I know two banks that do this. If you certainly know the name, if I said other people, I know had it happen to them too.
Yeah.
So I mean, just plain and simply, you know, we might as well be in Mexico already because the banks are a bunch of damn crooks. And that proves it right there.
Yeah.
And I've known two people who have been victims of identity theft.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them are thugs, man, they're crooks, and they came out, well, they made out great because they had all this protection already all piled up. They got away with all kinds. They got rid of more debts than they supposedly lost. They came out sort of like a rose. It was plotted and schemed.
Wow.
And, you know, I mean, it's a joke. Our financial system is a bunch of BS.
Let me jump in here for a second, Dan, and then we'll continue this discussion with our special guest tonight, Grant Hall, author of the book Privacy Crisis, the website privacycrisis.com. Please stay with us, folks. Back in three.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance, from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market, but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time. Whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. This hour is being brought to you by our guests tonight and PrivacyCrisis.com. This book is vital to your freedom and ensuring that you are able to erase the fingerprints that are left behind on pretty much common practices these days. Everybody asks for all of your very, very personal information in order to justify things that you don't really need to give them. And this book tells you how to, of course, secure your privacy and your anonymity in every possible conceivable way. You can pick up the book a number of ways. There's an ebook and a hardbound copy available at privacycrisis.com. You can look for it used at amazon.com, but I would encourage you to go to your local bookstore and tell them, say, I want Privacy Crisis by Grant Hall. And of course, they will have to deliver that to you. Grant Hall, our guest tonight, welcome back. You know, I think Dan in Texas had a fantastic point of many of these points, of course, addressed in your book about how to really preserve your anonymity in dealing with banks and how to really get around banks as well in a number of ways.
Yes, he did make some good points. And he's exactly right in my experience in terms of citing the habitual and persistent late crediting of deposits and funds. They do that all the time, especially when you're paying a payment on a loan. And that's really unfortunate, but they do that often. And I've fully documented that, and I've had a lot of experience in that regard. So you have to really keep on top of them and sometimes work double and triple duty, and that's not pleasant either. But they, I just have a lot of experience with banks, and they're, like the caller Dan suggested, the monetary system is dependent on integrity, and it's dependent on honesty and people doing the right thing. Otherwise, you do fail, and you do have not only a currency that's devalued, which we are having, but you have a system that essentially breaks down because people are not following first world practices. That means that you have to have a foundation of honesty in your system in order for first world values and first world commerce to survive.
It's an excellent point. And one of the things, of course, and Dan in Texas, welcome back. Some things that you might consider, of course, using a check cashing service. You can get a debit card, a prepaid debit card, where you could put money into the account. And then, of course, if I'm not mistaken, Grant, you can also get pre-printed checks that can be written out of that debit card account as well. And that doesn't have to be in your name either because it's all prepaid.
Now, the debit card that I'm familiar with acts like a bank account in many respects. Some of those that I'm familiar with do not have a check writing feature on that, but then again, you wouldn't necessarily have to have that. You have essentially the ability to pay bills if you chose to using that as a debit card and wherever debit cards would be accepted. A check, a paper check feature is usually tied to a more traditional bank account, but there again, if you choose to have that kind of account, whereas the other kind is almost exclusively done online, you can do almost the debit card that you buy at a check cashing store, usually has some limitations, but it's strictly an online type of account. The other more traditional bank accounts that have the paper checks tied to those, like the lady that you mentioned in your opening that had all the difficulty, those can be controlled, whereas you have a trust name on it as the holder, and you would be somewhere below that as the signer, but not identifiable on the banking information except internally by the banking personnel. And essentially the outside world, in the event that they were to see the statement or see your mail, or just find the account number with the trust name on it, would have no idea who you are and couldn't steal it. I mean, how would you steal it? If you didn't know who was behind that, didn't know what their signature looked like, didn't know what anything about them, how would you steal their identity and how would you steal that money unless you were inside the bank?
That's an excellent, excellent point. Dan in Texas, what do you think about that?
Well, I'm sorry I lost you there, but on the debit card, I've learned that the debit card can get you killed because if you go buy gas for the grocery or whatever, if they want your PIN number, you're wonderfully in good shape because then whack, it'll throw out of your bank account and zip, zap, and it's all over. But if they don't take your, if they don't ask for your code, then you're getting screwed because it could be months or so before they take it out of your check because they treat you like a credit card, unbeknownst to you. So unless you're wise to the fact that if they don't use your code, you're getting treated like a credit card, and then it's not going to be taken out of your account for maybe a month. And even gas stations, if you go buy gas, or not, some gas stations keep your bill to the total of $100 before they send it in. And you get slaughtered on when you owe your bill. You're in a hole. You think you have this money in the bank, and you don't. You're assuming your debit card takes it out on the split second you spend it, but it do not. And that means the debit card can really get you slaughtered. That's a racket, too.
Well, yes, absolutely, unless you're doing it the way that Grant has suggested, with a prepaid debit card, where you put the money into the account, and that's all you can use it for is for that purpose. I mean, so there are ways to do that. But, Grant, your thoughts?
Well, also, Dan,
John, Jordan,
the debit card is you don't want to use that every single time you spend money. You want to transact your routine bills with
cash and money order.
Right, right. But isn't the first thing to do, though, just use an everyday credit card and pay the damn thing off in a month?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. And the reason is because it's convenient, but everybody knows where you're spending your money, and they know where you are and where you frequent, and they can do all sorts of bad things to you. In my opinion, it's much more prudent to use a debit card that you fully control, that's in another entity's name other than yourself, when you have to use a credit card.
Yeah.
Infrequent.
The idea here, I guess, Dan, is to really make sure that you personally are not tied to your transactions. Because as you know, and I'll give you an example, I used to work at Blockbuster in my youth, and I could tell you basically any movie that you had rented that was in the system dating back to when you created the account years and years before. Now, obviously, you know, depending on what your movie practices, rental practices might be, that might not be a big deal. But for some people, it might be really embarrassing. So, you know, and that's just one example. There are other incidents where people can, you know, pay for their meals with a credit card, and that actually itemizes on, let's say the restaurant's thing, because they want to have quote unquote customer service. They know, you know, that you prefer red wine, not white wine. They know that you prefer a table facing east and not north, you know, stuff like that. So they do that for customer service, but they're still data mining. And of course, inevitably with all the government legislation that's available, they can keep track of all that stuff. But if you have a debit card that is not in your name, that you have created a prepaid debit card and you have to pay with a credit card, that would be a viable alternative to keeping your personal information out of your personal transactions.
Yeah, that's the problem some people get. Mm-hmm. Hey, one more thing about the, if you don't mind, it's about financial stuff, but in Arizona, this government, the state of Arizona, started just taking the money out of Western Union accounts because there's so many Mexicans sending money to Mexico that they just said they can pay for their hospitals and schools being destroyed by just confiscating Western Union money before it gets sent to Mexico, and they did it.
Wow.
And it's, yeah, they really did it. Which I don't know if you want to call it communism or self-defense. I mean, in my opinion, I think I hope it's legit and simply paying, getting paid for what you're being ripped off for. I think it's just. But then Texas is talking about it. But what that proves is that Western Union is making money hand over fist.
Oh, they're making a ton of money. If you look at the international cost for wiring money, it's pretty substantial.
But their stock is going down in value.
Well,
what a garbage that is.
Yeah. Well, interesting stuff, Dan. I appreciate the call, brother. Check out Grant's website. I think you'll find it to be really fascinating. It's privacycrisis.com. And also, folks, for those listening now, if you're just hearing Grant Hall for the first time, he has been with us every Monday at the midnight hour here in the Central Time Zone for the last, 6 weeks now, Grant? Or is this the seventh week? I don't even remember. I think this is six.
Six or seven. I can't remember either. But
yeah.
We're on our second run here. But the caller made some good points, and essentially what the goal here is just to remove yourself from those vital transactions so that people don't track you, number one, and have any access to you and your personal information, your residence, your money, and your automobile, and these sort of things, and just be able to control who gets into your private life and your business life. And it takes a little experience, and it's important, I believe, to model your program after somebody that's been successful doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to have a background in that, and I've had some personal experience where I had to utilize high-level privacy tactics. It's all explained on the website, and it's all explained on the back flap of the book. It's all true. And I just feel very, very confident that this will work. In fact, I promise everybody that it does, and I promise you in writing it works.
Yes.
But you have to be diligent, you have to study, and you have to apply the principles. It's not something just like any type of success. It comes to you when you pay the hours and time it takes to learn and to do the due diligence to accomplish that. Nothing is easy, and this is certainly doable by the average person.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. In fact, I think probably days after I received your book, I had started to implement some of these things and am thrilled with the results. It's really a phenomenal and easy-to-use book. And obviously, it does gauge a great deal of differences between high-level privacy and just moderate-level privacy and low-level privacy. So you can really implement these things as you go. It's not something that you need to just snap your fingers and have the whole thing implemented, although you can do so. It does teach you how to do that quickly and, I think, fairly easily as well. Let's go to John in Georgia. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. A couple questions and a little horror story for y'all. I worked in some data management, and I was used to work with the bulk emailers, unsolicited commercial bulk emailers that would send stuff to you from Carnival Cruise Lines, all that kind of
stuff.
Well,
we love people like you.
Yeah. And so I learned a lot from this as far as what, you know, people do as far as giving away data and,
sure.
and how they connect it all and everything. And,
wow.
And the guy I was working for actually ended up in jail because he was trying to get loans, and he couldn't get any loans. So what he would do is he would capture all the data coming through for all the different reservations since he already had the contact info. Then they would make payment. He would use that information to somehow register American Express credit cards and all these
wow.
different people's names, have them all go to these series of P.O. boxes. Then he would take these credit cards and actually use them, but pay off the credit cards.
Huh.
Then he would get more credit cards, pay off fees, and eventually he ended up with the owner of the New York Mets credit card. He had his credit card, and that's how he got busted.
Wow.
Because that guy, I guess, had enough cash to put him away or to figure out what was going on.
That's
but
amazing.
His balance was about $750,000 when they finally caught up to him, and he was just letting the money revolve and revolve just to keep his business alive, hoping it would take off and he'd make money.
That's amazing.
It was crazy, and like, you know, I was like, there's some weird stuff going on here, but I couldn't really figure it out. I was only there for about 4 months, 5 months, uh-huh. but, you know, and I knew the guys that worked there. I knew them. I still know them, actually. It's
yeah.
been about 4 years, but it's crazy stuff. And
wow. Well, let me let Grant respond to that quickly, because I've never heard a story like that before, but that's fascinating to me.
Yes,
Grant, your thoughts.
Well, I guess the people that he got the credit cards, whose names were in the credit cards, actually had the real names on their email or somehow got access to that.
Mm-hmm.
In my system, my belief system, you would never provide your real name except in very exceptional cases through the email. There's times that I have had to put personal information,
mm-hmm.
times when you're corresponding and you're doing business. You have to do that, but it's a good idea to put that down in the text. In the message someplace so it's not easily discovered, like on the subject line or
mm-hmm.
something, you know, because that can be cause you a nightmare. And also be careful about using full name and be careful about using any account numbers and all of that. But essentially what you want to do is conceal yourself, certainly through your email. You want to be as discreet as possible through that.
Sure.
So that you can avoid that.
Hide your IP address, for example, and any number of things. And certainly don't respond to offers and things like that. You know, and that's, for me, that's a relatively easy concept because, quite simply, like I've always said, you know, if I'm looking to find religion, I'll go find it. I don't need it to knock on my door. If I'm looking to purchase something, I won't wait for them to call me and offer it to me. I'll simply go out and buy it. So, you know, again, sometimes when, you know, you get credited with, you just won this, or, oh, no, there's an account with your, there's a problem with your eBay account. You know, please enter all of your personal information here. We'll sort it out for you. You know, don't trust people so easily. I think that's a big part of it.
Well, that's not actually, you know what they do to you, and this is how this was working.
Uh-huh.
Radisson and all these, like, the cruise lines and all these different places, they take these customer surveys, enter a contest, do this, do that, click here or don't click here. Click here if you do not want to receive something in the email, blah, blah, blah. So what happens, they volunteer their information to try and win a prize or something. All of this gets typed into a huge database that gets sent out to whoever they want to send out these emails. Now, those emails end up in your email box, and they already, you know, they're personalized, just like you would get an email or
yeah.
in a regular post. You know, they're, what do you call it? They're, you know, targeted, marketed just directly to you. And then so what mm-hmm. happens is you're already, I've been to Radisson. They know this. They know the date of the cruise. They know all this junk about me.
Mm.
So you push the button to actually go and make the purchase or subscribe or whatever you're going to do. You don't actually end up on Radisson's server first. You end up at a form that you fill out that then refloats, then takes you over to. See, so what happens is the way you hide the trail, so like legitimate companies can do spamming basically, is they have landing pages and all the stuff hosted all over the place. And not until the actual credit card is charged do you actually end up at the homepage or wherever you're supposed to be for Radisson or for Carnival or for
whoever. That's amazing. I had no idea.
Yeah, so there's all kinds of things they can do to really, you know, I mean, you don't know this is happening to you, and this guy doesn't have to be illegit, but, I mean, how about applications you fill out anywhere, especially online, they go, okay, well, we want to open up a new PayPal account or whatever it might be. And they go, you know, to verify this is who you are, answer these three questions correctly.
Right.
Which one of these is your sister?
That's amazing.
Which one of these houses did you live at? Did you used to work for this or this or this company? And so all this data is coming from, you know, who knows,
probably
the credit card or the credit unions, or not credit unions, like TransUnion, Equifax, all these companies, because they bought the spammers. They have the biggest databases around.
Well,
and so when they have customers like Citibank or whoever that's, you know, buying into these lists or providing more information, I mean, they pretty much have something on almost everybody, I'm just about sure, unless you're aware.
You need to be aware that every single point you brought up is I can take care of all of that.
Yeah, this
right,
is...
That's why I just don't think people understand how vast this is.
Yeah. Well, this
I got
is,
two questions before
well,
you.
Yeah, yeah. We have a quick break to contend
sure.
with, though, so let me ask you both to hang on. Folks, you just got a sneak peek into the world of data mining and seeing how it works. This applies to everybody. I don't care. You may say, oh, I don't answer emails. You're in the system, folks. Unless you get yourself out, you always will be. Stay with us back in three.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
PersonAlarms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
Come on, let's work together. Now, people.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen, and here we are at the tail end of hour number two, our hour sponsored by our special guest this evening, Grant Hall, author of the book Privacy Crisis, which contains a great deal of information how to secure your bank, how to secure your phone, your computer, pretty much everything under the sun, in which case you would never have identity theft issues. You would never have fraud issues like our caller is talking about here. Grant, go ahead, sir.
Well, I was just going to begin by saying that it becomes an attitude adjustment is what it really becomes, because when you stop and think about it, why does it become necessary for you to reveal all of the personal information about yourself to somebody when you do business with them? I don't think it's necessary. When you go to a hotel, is it really, really necessary that they have your Social Security number or your license tag number or your real name? Or does it really become necessary for you to give your real name when you fill out an online application or when you travel on a ship? Should you be using your real name, or should you be using an alternate name for safety and privacy purposes? When you pay your bill at a restaurant, should your real name be in their database and on their records as a paying customer? I think not.
Yeah, that's fantastic. John in Georgia, welcome back, and you said you had some questions.
Thank you. I've got a couple questions. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. If I'm using, I'm basically on a cash-only basis, using your technique, which is kind of what I do now, but I just started, after I got married is when I started using credit cards, actually, and now I'm trying to get back out. But if you don't use credit cards and you don't, how do you purchase a car? How do you build up a credit history and all that kind of stuff? Is there a way to do that without actually using credit? You know what I mean?
What is it you want to buy?
Let's say I want to buy a house or a car.
All right. Well, you need to borrow money by using money that is concealing you as the borrower, but you still being able to control the loan and still being able to legitimately borrow the money. And there's an entire chapter on credit bureaus, and I outline how that is done, where it's totally confidential. In terms of paying for a car, you can do all of that. In fact, there's people that, car dealerships will, if you want to borrow money to buy a car, as long as you're breathing and have some sort of a job, they'll sell you a car today. Not always in every cycle, in every part of every business cycle will they do that, but they will today. And I think that you do need a credit profile. In fact, I don't think you should be out of the system. I think you should be able to control that. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you give up your credit cards. It just means that you're discreet in how you make your purchases so that the world doesn't know what restaurants you go to, what hotels you go to, where your home address is, where your checking account is. You want to conceal that. In fact, you can have a profile nice and neat and tidy and a good score, but you need to have it locked up, and it's very easy to do that so nobody can come in and steal your information, whether that be a private investigator, who do that often, or whether that be a person that you don't want to do business with that's just trying to learn about how much money you have and where it is,
mm-hmm.
or whether it be an identity thief. You don't want anybody to know where your funds and mm-hmm. any portion of your credit is located.
I'll tell you what, John, if you have more questions, you can hang on. Grant, can you stay over with us for just a few more minutes?
Yes, I will. Oh,
wonderful. I appreciate that. Folks, please stay with us. We're going to pause here for a brief station identification for our affiliates and then back with you and more Frankly Speaking Radio in 90 seconds.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact,